that kind of get to you. We certainly have enjoyed this conference thus far. Certainly enjoyed the preaching. And we would like to thank Home Baptist Church and the pastor, Brother Gordon, for the invitation to preach. What a blessing it is to be saved. Amen. Oh, isn't the Lord wonderful? Certainly He is wonderful and He is precious. And certainly it's our desire to magnify Him. Some of you have asked me about our building project up in the Traverse City area. Well, the plans are completed, and we are going to be getting names of contractors, and we're going to be putting these out for bid May the 10th. And if you are a contractor and you're interested in building or bidding on this building, we would invite you to give us your name and so that we might contact you and be able to give you the plans to submit. We're hoping to be able to break ground around June the 6th. So, but it's all in the Lord's hands. We're just waiting on the Lord. We want to do it in the Lord's timing. We would like to break ground April 1st, but you see, we're going to God's timetable. And so just pray for us in that matter. The Lord has been good to us in the mission work down in Cadillac. We were able to buy the building down there. And Brother Mark is doing a good job down there in Cadillac. And we're thankful for that too. Thank you for that message, Brother Bill. It brought my mind, and it's been on my mind for some time. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, this is not my message, but this is just something that I wanted to put in. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11, Paul, by the inspiration of the Spirit, says, "Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of His calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ." Oh, is God, Jesus Christ, being glorified in us, and we in Him? Oh, that ought to be the desire of our hearts. If there's any one purpose we ought to have in life, it's to glorify God. I can't see any other purpose here in this life but to glorify God. And I trust that when the Lord's finished with me, I'll be ready to go home. You know, I don't know about this business of retirement. I'm getting kind of feeble on my legs. But as long as the Lord gives me a mind and able to organize thoughts, I want to keep on for Him. That brings me to my message this morning. I'd like for you to turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Verse Verse 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he have often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. My message this morning is judgment day and rewards. You know, all of us has made appointments. You maybe made an appointment to go to the doctor or go to the dentist, or you made an appointment with someone to go to the shopping mall or something, but we've all made appointments. And we really don't think much about it when we make those appointments, but there's one thing we do when we make these appointments. We get ready to meet that appointment. Now, if I'm going to go to the doctor, you can be sure that I'm going to take a shower or something before I go. I'm going to get cleaned up. I'm going to get ready to go and meet that appointment. But I wonder this morning if we give serious thought to the one appointment that we are going to keep. And you are going to keep it. In 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 1, it says, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And I ask you this morning, are you ready? Is your house in order? Because you're going to die and not live.
Right. Amen, brother.
Now, our text verse, verse 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die. That's an appointment. This appointment is inevitable, and you will keep it. Job chapter 30, verse 23, for I know that thou wilt bring me to death and to the house appointed for all living. Two questions we find in Psalms chapter 89 and verse 48. What man is he that liveth and shall not see death, and shall deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? Not going to do it. And the answer is really found in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 20. All go to one place. All are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. It's very evident. If you're to die today, you're going to go to the grave. You're going to go to dust. Your body is going to go to dust. Now, certainly our bodies are in a perishing mode. 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, we read, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. But this house is going to be dissolved.
Amen, brother.
And furthermore, this morning, we do not have any power over this appointment. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 8 tells us, there is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. So, certainly we can say that we don't have any power over this appointment. When your time comes, you're going. That's for sure. Psalms chapter 90. I want to go to Psalms chapter 90. Get to it here. Psalms chapter 90. Let's look at verse 10. The days of our years are 80. That's 80. Okay. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, or I mean 70, they're in 80 years, which is 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it so soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days. You have so many days. I have so many days. We're to teach to number our days. We better think about the days that we have left.
Amen.
What are we going to do in the days that we have left? So that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. See, it's applying your hearts to wisdom. Where does wisdom come from? Well, it comes from God. If any man asks, lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberty and upbraideth not.
Amen.
Wisdom comes from God. So if you're going to apply your heart to wisdom, you're going to go to God. But we read in our text, but after this, the judgment, you're going to die. And you're going to meet that appointment. And none of us know exactly when that appointment is. How much more that beseeches us to be ready. But after this, the judgment. We will then face God in judgment. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 17 tells us, I said in mine heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. You see, you're going to escape. If you have the righteousness of Jesus Christ to your account and you belong to Him, you're going to be judged. He's going to judge you. You're going to give an accounting. And He's going to judge the wicked. For there is a time and every purpose for every work. You're going to be judged according to what you've done. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 14 tells us, for God shall bring every work into judgment. Do we hear that? God's going to bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. You think kept some things quiet? You think it's going to escape His eye? Whether it be good or whether it be evil. Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, will be the judge. He's the judge. Isn't that wonderful? I'm glad Jesus is the judge. He knows all about humanity. He became incarnate in the flesh. He knows our frame. He knows all about us. What one is better able to judge than my Savior, Jesus Christ? Acts chapter 10, verse 42. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he, that is Jesus, which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead, the alive and the dead. He's ordained of God the Father to be the judge. Romans chapter 2 and verse 16 we read, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Now, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 1 tells us, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. So judgment day is coming. And it's coming after you meet that appointment of death. This judgment we face will be according to works. Psalm 62:12 tells us, also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. Proverbs 24 and verse 12. Let's turn to Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24. In verse 12. Let's read verse 11 along with it. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death. How many have you seen of your neighbors? How many people have you seen that are drawn unto death? And those that be ready to be slain. Pretty serious thoughts there. If thou sayest, behold, we knew it not. You think you're going to excuse yourself? Do I think I'm going to excuse myself? Doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth he not know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his work? We're to preach the gospel to every creature. We're to go out and tell souls about Jesus Christ. How he saved me. He saved a wretch like me. He brought me up out of the pit and put me in Jesus Christ. And he established my goings. And he put a new song in my heart. Why wouldn't I want to tell someone about that? Why wouldn't I want to share that with them? Especially when I see him going on the path to hell. This is speaking to the saved, or those who profess salvation. It's according to our service for our Lord. 1 Peter 1:17 tells us, and if you call on the Father, who with respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Oh, how much reverence do we have for our Lord? And we're just sojourning here. We aren't here on a permanent basis. We're just sojourning here. Not only that, we're citizens of heaven.
Amen.
And we're down here as ambassadors.
Yeah. Right. Amen. Right.
And we're ministers of reconciliation.
Yes.
We've got something to be doing. We're representing our Lord.
Yes.
And we're just here for a time. He's going to call us home. But you know when he calls us home? We're going to give an accounting.
Amen.
And how are you going to account for what you've done since you've been saved? Romans. Well, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5. And let's look at verse 9. We'll look at 8 along with it. We are confident, I say. I like that where he says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Paul was looking forward to that. Not only that, he had a confidence in him. Do you have that confidence? Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear, and I'm speaking to Christians here, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, whether they be done, whether it be good or bad.
Amen.
Now it tells me there that you can be doing some bad things. And I'm afraid many of us as Christians have been doing some bad things. And it's not good things. And you're going to be judged according to it. You ever stop to think about that? As you're going through this walk in life, what are you doing today? What were you doing yesterday? You see, how little thought you give to it sometimes. We want to think now about a little bit about the unsaved. They're going to be judged too. And they're going to be judged according to their ungodly deeds.
That's right.
2 Peter 2:9 tells us, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Their reward is going to be punished. 2 Peter 3:7, for the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Jude verse 15 tells us to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches with which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. So we see there is a terrible judgment awaiting the unsaved. And it's the reward is going to be eternal fire. Turning to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Verses 11 through 15. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them.
Amen.
And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. I got 66 of them here. The books were open, and another book was opened. Yes, there was another book opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And it's only the righteous. It's only God's elect, God's sheep. They're going to be found in that book of life. Now, let me ask you this morning, what kind of reward will you receive? What kind of reward will I receive? Turn with me to 2 John. I'm afraid many of us have taken this matter of how we live in this life and what we do, that we really are going to be given an accounting. And you know, there's rewards. There's rewards for what a man does. If you labor diligently, you're going to receive a reward of your labors. That's just the product of working. We were made creatures to be active. We are to be working. And whether you're lost or whether you're saved, you're going to be judged according to what you've done.
Amen.
Now, let's look at verse 6 in 2 John. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. Do you love God? Are you walking after his commandments? This is the commandment that you've heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Oh, brothers and sisters in Christ, it isn't enough for me to want a reward. I want a full reward. Don't you? Ought we not to desire a full reward? Well, this morning, then, we ought to look to ourselves about some things. We really need to consider some things this morning. This word look to yourselves means see with an intent, earnest contemplation. Look intently or have a full view. I would say to you this morning, if you're unsaved, you really need to take a good look and consider your destiny. You really should. You need to see that you are under condemnation, that you need to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. John chapter 3, verse 18, we read, he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already.
Amen.
You're under condemnation already.
Amen.
Because you have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Look to yourself and see your need. See that you're a sinner. Not only that, you need to see that God's wrath abides on you. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him.
Amen.
You have God's wrath abiding on you right now. And you really need to understand that eternal death awaits you. We read about that second death. It awaits you. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. It pays off. The wages of death. What you do brings death. Only that, you need to understand that you're blinded. Oh, blinded to the gospel. 2 Corinthians 4:3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And only God can open up your blinded eyes. You can't do it. You must fall upon the mercy of God. Do you see yourself as a sinner this morning in need of a Savior? Do you see yourself as lost and undone? That comes by revelation of God, if you can see that this morning. 2 Corinthians 4:5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and our servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Oh, is God shining down into your heart, showing you are a sinner in need of a Savior this morning? I would say to the saved this morning, God wants us to take a good look at ourselves. You know, that means an inspection. When was the last inspection you took of yourself? Well, you know, as I thought about that a little bit, really, J.R. Warren doesn't know his own heart. But God knows him. So when you open your heart up for inspection, ask the Lord to search out your heart. Going back to Psalms 139, we read in verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Oh, we need to look to ourselves. We need to take an inspection. And we need to open ourselves up to let God search out our hearts. And cleanse us from sin. And we may walk in His ways. Second Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. Second Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if these you do these things, ye shall never fall. Oh, we need to make our calling in election sure.
Amen.
We need to know. We need to know whether we're walking in God's way or not. You know, and Jeremiah says it's not within man to direct his steps. You know, we need the Lord to direct our steps.
Amen.
We need to look to Him.
Yeah.
Matthew 24:4. Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. We need to look to see if we've been deceived. Have you been deceived? As we go to 2 John again, and look at verse 7, it says, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is deceiver and antichrist. They come as an angel of light. They're out to put up a deception. And you need to be careful that you aren't drawn aside by them. And it's a warning to us that we be not drawn aside to them. You can get all messed up. If you're saved, you're going to be saved eternally, but you can get all messed up. You can mess up your life by getting involved with deceivers. Luke chapter 21, verse 8, and he said, take heed that you be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near, go ye not therefore after them. Stick to the faith. Stick to that faith that has been delivered to the saints.
Amen.
Stay in the Baptist church where you're a member and serve Him with all your heart.
Yes.
And listen to the preached word. And don't just listen to it. Go home and eat it.
Yes.
Oh, I can stand up here and preach the gospel all day. But until a person receives and takes it home and meditates upon it and thinks upon it and eats it, it's not going to do anything. Are we ready for Christ's coming? If He were to come the next moment, are you ready? Mark 13:33, take heed, watch and pray, for you know not what the time is. It could be in the next moment. Are you ready? Are you prepared? First John 3:2 says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Oh, I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus. Oh, just think, we're going to have a glorious body like His. We aren't going to be problemed anymore with this flesh and that sin giving us problems. Just no more. No more problems. But there's just one thing. And every man, verse 3, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. God wants us to be pure. He doesn't want us to be defiled by sin in our life. He wants us pure. He wants our lives pure. And I believe we're called to an accounting on that. Oh, do you want to meet Him with your life impure? Not only that, Titus chapter 2 and verse 13, looking for that blessed hope, and Brother Bill read that, and that glorious praying of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. We're looking for that. I'm looking for that. Are you looking for it? Not only that, I believe we need to look to see that we're not being spoiled. And I think this is particularly true of our day that we're living in. Oh, I tell you, there's a lot of things out there that can spoil you. They're humanistic. Oh, there's this, what they call Christian psychology. Colossians 2:8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men and after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. You know something? There's only one thing that I need, and that's Jesus.
Amen.
I'm complete in Him. He's given me all things that pertain to life and godliness. I don't need anything more. I don't need to go to this group and learn how to cope with things. I just need to go to God's Word.
Amen.
And He'll show me how to cope.
Amen. 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 That is right.
Titus chapter 3 and verse 9. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain.
Yeah.
They aren't going to count when you stand before the Lord. We need to look and see if we are continuing in love. Galatians 5:13, for brethren, you have not been called unto liberty. You have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. It's sad in so many churches where there's a fighting and stewing going on. There's divisions and schisms. Where's the love? If God put that love in your heart, that love that's in your heart ought to be shed abroad to others. In other words, it's not there for like a cistern. It's there to flow out.
Amen. Amen, brother.
And it ought to be, in a membership of a church, it ought to be flowing out to one another and helping in times of need.
Amen.
And there's times when Christians have needs, and we ought to be there by their side, helping them with that load that they have at that particular time. Verse 14, all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Do you have any concern for your neighbor? You say, well, who is my neighbor? Well, I'll tell you what, it's anyone you meet. It's anyone you come in contact with. Do you have a concern for them? I've seen Brother Keller this morning have a concern for a man right in the motel, giving him the gospel. Oh, that's what we need to do. Our love needs to reach out.
Yeah, amen.
Not only that, verse 15 says, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you not be consumed one of another. Are we strengthening our weaker brothers? 1 Corinthians 8:9, but take heed lest any man, by any means this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to them that are weak. You can be a stumbling block to a weaker brother. You better be careful. We need to look to see that we're not letting the world get into our lives. Not only that, we read in James that if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. We can't make friendships with the world. And we're going to get an accounting of that, too. And we ought to look to see that we're making every opportunity together with the saints. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more you should see the time approaching. Oh, we ought to love getting together more and more as we see the time approaching. That's why I like to come to a conference. Oh, we need to get there. We need to stir one another up to love and good works. And we need to do that in our own individual churches. That's why when you're not there, you're missed. You're vital in the membership. And you need to be there to encourage someone else. We need to look to see if we're listening to the Lord. Are you listening to Him today? Hebrews 10:25, see that you refuse not Him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused Him that spake on earth, how much more, let me get back again. I'll start over. See that you refuse not Him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused Him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from Him that speaketh from heaven. You come to the church and you hear the Word of God. It's God speaking to you. What happens when you go out? Have you refused it? Or have you received it? It'll make a difference. You're going to give an accounting for what you hear. I believe we also need to look to see if we're studying the Scriptures. Do you study the Scriptures daily? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I need to close.